Cougar Cuties.
No, it's not time for the Cougar Cuties. It's time for the entertaining Two Ramblers podcast. From the class of 1994, he's the host with the jokes, Dauber. And from the class of 1998, he's the analyst with the attention to detail, except when it comes to being on time for the podcast, Sammy D.
Oh, wow.
What an opening. I'm literally shaking. I got goosebumps.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast. Do you want to introduce yourself?
What's going on, gentlemen? Dauber, Sammy D. It's Alex over here. Some of you may hear me at Gentile Arena, but you probably don't know my name. So I'm the public address announcer for the Ramblers.
Yes. And let's... Soteropoulos? How do we say the last name?
Sure. So, funny enough, for someone whose job is to get names right, I actually don't care how people pronounce my last name. It's technically Soteropoulos, so all the O's are hard.
Soteropoulos.
Right, okay. But...
So, wow.
Whatever you mouthful. Like.
Soteropoulos. Wow, that's a mouthful of Euro.
Wow. I'm a little offended.
Oh, give me a little souvlaki sauce with that.
Hey, you know,
tzatziki.
Funny enough, since I'm in Skokie, I actually just went to Fresh Farms, which has a great supermarket with a lot of Greek food. It got some lamb chops, some Greek bread, Greek chocolate.
Awesome. Well, did I really offend you?
No.
Okay, because we can take that out. Guys, we don't normally have guests. And we're trying not to get in trouble with Loyola. We've greenlit this interview. I had to sign an NDA that I wouldn't say certain things. So I'm really towing the line here today. So
goosebumps. Yeah. I still got goosebumps.
So Sam, have you met Alex in person, Sam?
Yes, when we were there for the UIC game. No, wait, what game
Dayton.
Was it? No, Dayton. It was Dayton. Because then we went over to the Candlelight with your buddies and had a great time talking about the game and enjoying yourself. And actually, Alex has a great name in our house here in Virginia because he bequeathed us some wonderful goodies from his... other hustle with a certain cereal company, and so we got a bunch of Rice Krispie treats, and so the girls are forever.
Wait! Correction,
Sam. I have to correct you. My company split beginning of October. I'm no longer a part of a cereal company. Kellanova is all snacks.
Yes, and also it's Rice Krispies treats, not
you're
Rice Krispie
right.
treats.
Rice Krispies. Krispies.
Got to hit trademarked.
Trademarked, yes.
Well, they were wonderful and they were delicious. Good. And we even got like special chocolate ones. And so, yeah, big hit at the Dobschutz household down here in Virginia.
I'm glad you like them.
Yes. And Alex, you know, just kept the generosity flowing today. He brought a year's supply of Pop-Tarts. so the kids were really happy. I'm hoping he brought strawberry because I don't like strawberry, and then I won't be tempted to eat them. If he brought raspberry, I'm in trouble.
I brought the three top flavors now.
What are the three top flavors?
Frosted strawberry.
Frosted strawberry.
Frosted brown sugar cinnamon.
Okay.
Yes.
And frosted hot fudge sundae.
I don't think I like either one of those, so I'm good. I'm really good. I like the cherry. And I like raspberry. Those are the two that I like. Mm. You know what I'm realizing as I'm sitting here with Alex? Every time he talks in the mic, I want to like somehow, you know, deepen my voice and like make it more, enunciate more. It's like a competition.
Gotta go with it.
I don't know. Dauber, you do a really good job with a lot of the bits. I think you could fill in. If I'm ever sick.
Well,
wow.
That would be an amazing thing. I don't think I could get... Personally, we were just talking about this before the game. I think I could say, you know, it's t-shirt time or something like that. But I think the actual running the game, you know, like, you know, with when you're calling...
Three-point basket by...
Yeah, like, well, I think I could do that, but it's more like when you have to say personal foul and then... how many fouls someone has, how many team fouls. Like, that's the thing. I think the details, I think, is where I would struggle. How do you keep all that? And how do you keep all that in your head when you're doing those games?
Yeah. So a couple things. One is a lot of it's just repetition, right? The more you do it, you realize what you need to look for, when to look for it. Secondly, no shock to anyone. A lot of it's also preparation. So I don't go in there blindly with just a roster. I go to every game basically prepping for about 3-4 hours. So I create sheets that show all the pronunciations of each player, and then it also leaves room for noting how many fouls there are, both personal and team fouls. I note the media timeouts. I even have a circle with a one in it to make sure that I make the 1 minute remaining announcement with 1 minute left in the second half. So those are just a few things that keep me on track.
Well, how do you keep the running total? Is there a computer screen, or is someone scoring for you? How do you know Dame Adelakun has, you know, 3 fouls?
Sure. So right next to his name in my prep sheet, I have circle with a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So each time he gets a foul, just cross it off. So I see he has 2 fouls, and I have the same at the top of the sheet for team fouls, 1 through 10 for each half.
And so you're actually doing it. You're actually scoring while you're going. Like you're tracking.
Correct. Yes. But luckily, I'm sitting next to the official scorer. So if there's ever, God forbid, a discrepancy, he can overrule me, or sometimes I overrule them because they may have forgotten a foul.
And so in that case, would you correct it on mic, or would you just correct it the next time? Like, would you say, correction, 3 fouls, something like that?
Yeah, I'll correct it immediately.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's very important, not just for the fans, but for the players and the coaching staff as well, to know the correct number of fouls.
I never knew the PA announcer was so important but it makes sense, right? If you hear that's his third foul, that's significant, right? To pull a guy out.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
I'm curious, Alex. Okay, we kind of jumped it ahead a couple questions, but how did you end up with this job? Because this, I believe, the previous PA guy had been there for quite some time. So how did you end up with this job? You know, how did you get connected with it?
Yeah, so it's actually a pretty funny story that I told Dabra about, and I used to be embarrassed by it because it seemed like, when I tell you this story, it might seem like, oh, I didn't deserve it, or it's because of connections. But really, as one of my mentors likes to say, luck is when preparation meets opportunity. So yeah. I've been heavily involved in public speaking since I was in sixth grade. I was part of speech teams from sixth grade through the end of high school. And whenever anyone asks me what sports I played in high school, I always joke that my number one sport was speech team. And my number two joke, or my number two sport, was tennis. So speech and public speaking have always been a big part of my life. When I went to college, I started the television station on campus. And the reason I started it is because I was watching a game during Thanksgiving break of my freshman year. And I was the biggest U Chicago basketball fan, but I couldn't recognize any of the players on the home broadcast. So I figured, let's make a change. Got a couple of my friends together, started a TV station. That's when I got more into sports broadcasting specifically. So I was broadcasting U Chicago basketball, football, some other sports during my undergrad years. But then it came time for me to determine what my actual career was going to be, right, upon graduation. Right. And as much as I love public speaking and broadcasting, I'm a pretty risk-averse person, so candidly, I didn't want to move to the middle of nowhere, North Dakota, in a small market, try to work my way up in such a subjective field. So I decided to take another route while also pursuing public speaking on the side. And for me, I don't necessarily have the gift of gab. I can't just go into a broadcast and, you know, say whatever top of my mind, be very articulate and eloquent. I need to prep quite a bit. And that's pretty hard to do when you have a full-time job, to prep 7-8 hours to be a play-by-play broadcaster. So I had done a little bit of PA announcing as an undergrad at the lab school, which is adjacent to U Chicago. And I decided to pursue that more heavily after college. So I was doing a lot at U Chicago, but I was about 29 years old 3 years ago. And I really wanted to work my way up. I'd been announcing at UChicago, great school, maroon for life. I love UChicago athletics, but I wanted to go into the D1 space. So I reached out to a family friend who is a pretty big name when it comes to sports physicians in the Chicago area. And I said, hey, do you have any connections with any of the D1 schools? I was actually looking at the message I had sent him a couple years ago. And I said, I have an interest in potentially Northwestern or DePaul. Sorry. But now I'm a rambler for life. And
it's okay.
And he says to me, I don't know if I have many connections, but I am close with the guy who's the announcer for the Blackhawks and for the White Sox, Gene Honda. Do you want me to connect you with him? And of course I said, yes, Gene Honda's a legend when it comes to PA announcing, but I didn't think anything would come of it, right? Because you're talking to someone in the top of their industry, and here I was looking for connections to get a Division I role. So I meet up with Gene Honda for drinks, and drinks turns into dinner.
At the Piggery, right?
Yeah, there you go.
The Piggery nice. Across the street from Sam and I's high school.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So
right there at Irving Park in Ashland.
That's where I got my start in PA announcing. So.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that. You announce wrestling, right? You mentioned on a previous podcast. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's really cool. So I met up with Gene, expected to grab drinks with him for an hour, and that was that. You know, it's a good story for parties and to tell families and White Sox, Blackhawks fans, but didn't make anything of it. However, we hung out for 4 hours. We had a really good time. And about 2 weeks later, he calls me and leaves a voicemail and says, Alex, this is Gene Honda. I'm outside the United Center. It just clicked. Loyola's looking for their next men's basketball PA announcer. Would you be interested? And I was like, yes. I called him immediately. I was actually in my final business school class. I was like, Gene, I would love the opportunity to let me know what I need to do. He connects me with Bill Behrens, who at the time was the associate athletic director of communications for Loyola. He's now moved on to be, I think, communications director at Notre Dame Academy, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. I tried out and I got the gig. And what was really funny is one thing to keep in mind, Gene had never heard me announce. So as I was prepping for the audition for Loyola, I'd reached out to Bill Behrens to get a couple pronunciations like a hiru guac. And Bill says to me, don't worry about it too much. You should be fine. Gene recommended you. And I'm sitting here like, Gene's never heard me announce in my life. So.
Oh, well.
That's how I got the gig.
Hey, cool story, bro.
Are you making fun of me?
No. It's funny. I love the last part. Oh, hey, if Gene says you're good. Gene hasn't actually heard me. So good thing you were good.
Yeah, it all worked out. And Loyola's been really, really good to me. I'm in my third season now. My first 2 years, I was just announcing men's basketball. But the person who was announcing the other sports decided not to return this year. And Loyola's been so great to me. They've, for each sport before the season starts, they've said, hey, you get first dibs. So I finished my first full season of women's volleyball. I'm doing about half the women's basketball matches. I've done some men's soccer, going to be doing all the men's volleyball games, majority of softball games. So super excited. And Loyola's an amazing, amazing place. I can't speak highly enough about how good they've been to me.
Well, and you came at a great time too, because we've gone to the A-10. Just even from my vantage point looking at athletics, it's like the level of the way athletics is looked at across the board, not just men's basketball, the level has raised. So you're coming, you know, what is it? A tide rises all ships. You're kind of coming right as the tide's rising, which is great. So don't get too good, though. I don't want to be going up to Evanston and hearing,
No. I've said this to
Wildcat fans, get ready for t-shirt time.
No, I've said this to Loyola many times. This is my home. I love this. I would not, trade it for anything. It's Loyola is amazing.
Well, if you did go to Northwestern, I have been a fan of the game there, so... It's a very small fraternity of fans that get into the fan of the game. Jumbotron 3 games in a row at Northwestern. So, And I'm hoping to make it four next week, four games in a row on the Jumbotron. So haven't been on the Jumbotron in 2 years at Loyola, though. I'm kind of
since they flipped the stadium.
Yeah,
it's been not very good for a Dobbertron.
No, they're not looking at the side of the stadium that I'm on. Now, what's cool is I'm actually for conference play. Like everyone at home is really concerned about this. Where is Dobber sitting in conference play? I am actually sitting behind the Wolfpack. And so there may be a time when if the Wolfpack
the camera pans up.
Let's say Wolfpack is not quite on their A game. They might go up a couple rows for a jovial Dobber dancing.
Yes.
So that's what I'm hoping for. And I really am hoping for some opportunities in those early weeks in January when the students aren't back yet.
Yes,
because here's what's going to happen. All the cameras are still going to be set up towards the Wolfpack, and then there's not going to be any Wolfpack. So then they're going to be desperate. Going to be a vacuum of content.
I think here's what you do. I think before the game, you get there a little early, and you grab some Dunkin' Donut gift cards and you slip them to the camera guys, because all camera guys love Dunkin'. So it's just like, hey guy, I'm sitting right over there, you know thinks you need a little something, I'm there for you.
Big time out, just come up to me, I'll give you some magic.
I think it's a beautiful plan, my friend.
Yeah. So back to our guest Alex, a couple questions I had that maybe people at home are wondering too. Is what's your interaction with coaches and players like? Are you kind of like part of the arena or is there a little more camaraderie? Are you nervous when you meet a player? What's it like for you being so close to the action?
Yeah, so being close to the action is unbelievable, because more than anything else, I'm a huge, huge, huge fan. And ever since I started announcing for Loyola, I've basically adopted Loyola as my D1 team, because I didn't go to a D1 school anyway, and I've become a huge fanatic. So I went to Arch Madness at the end of my first year, so that was our final Arch Madness. I went to the game against FAU at Wintrust, went to that game against DePaul at Wintrust as well a few years ago. But as far as interactions with players, maybe it's because I am very... I don't know if it's very self-aware or very insecure might be the right word. I don't view myself as a part of the team. I view myself as not worthy to talk to the coaches and players. I just view myself as part of the event and an ancillary member of that. So because of that, unless a player or coach were to come talk to me, I think that they're celebrities. They're incredible people, but I try not to bother them.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I kind of feel the same way. Not that I'm a celebrity or that you're... I feel ancillary, right? Like, even this podcast, we're a fan podcast, right? So really, it's about the team. So if I meet a team member, if they're nice to me, that's great. But I'm not going out of my way to try to talk to a player.
Exactly. I think it's a really good point, because it's the same reason why people say the PA announcer should not really be noticed, because if you're being noticed, it probably means you're not doing a good job or you're trying to steal the show. And the show's all about the players. It's not about me.
So there's the game and then there's the other stuff. What's it like doing live reads for
Caputo
Cheese, for example?
I actually think, the in-game stuff is great, because that's when you get really pumped up, right? Announcing a three-pointer for Braden Norris is a...
Wait! Can we get your actual call? Can we? Here, go ahead. Give us a. I'm gonna set it up. Braden has just scored the three. It's put us ahead with 10 seconds to go.
Three, Braden Norris. There you go.
Love it.
I already forgot the question that was asked that I was responding to.
Oh, the in-live or the in-game
reads. Oh, right, the reads. Reads. As much as I like the in-game announcements, right, as much as I love announcing a personal foul. Right. Just kidding. No, I mean, that's all important, as we discussed earlier. I've always had this fascination of commercial voiceover, which, funny enough, as right. Dauber heard, I just recorded a spot that will be played nationally during whatever, something for my job. Really exciting. So I love those because oftentimes, and this is something that Gene Honda taught me, the profession of PA announcing is thought of as what he calls carnival barking, right? People, anyone thinks they could do it, and they just talk a little bit like this. And
right.
it almost cheapens this profession. So what I love about reading scripts is that you need to be genuine, because ultimately those sponsors are very important. You don't want to lose them. So it's not a joke. Yeah. You know, it's not a Caputo cheese.
They literally are paying your salary.
Right. I mean, they're very important to, you know, keep the show running. I really enjoy reading scripts, probably the most out of anything.
Okay. Now, let me ask you a question. I've seen you do these reads because I know you. I'll see you. I'll look over to see you reading. You always have a bobblehead when you're reading.
I know.
What is the bobblehead about? Like, so let me just describe this. If you're watching Alex read, think of like a bobblehead and you've just moved it. So it's like he's going, you know, Caputo cheese is family owned. But his head is bobbling back and forth as he's talking. So what is that about? Is that just sort of a rhythm thing?
It's all natural. I actually didn't notice it until last year when I decided to record myself announcing. I had no idea that I did that. It's kind of like, I mean, if you've seen some of the top pianists in the world, they do something similar, and I don't think they notice it, you know, when they're moving their body all around or their head all around. So I think I'm just very into the read.
Yeah.
That's all it really is.
Here's another question that I've wondered for my own sake. Even though I've been doing a podcast for, I don't know, 7 or 8 years, I still struggle with us, ands, like I filler words, like trying to catch my thought. I realize I'm doing, I'm trying to think.
Yeah,
I realize I'm trying to think and talk at the same time. But even if I'm just like trying to say something I even know the script for, I can still add in some of those words. How do you keep it so clean?
A lot of it is just practice. And if I'm being honest with you, I am very scripted for most of the things I say, unless there's a replay review or something like that. I know exactly what I'm going to say. That's a big reason why.
Granted, the way the game plays out may be different every night, but you know there's going to be a basket by so-and-so.
Exactly.
And so it's like, you, when that happens, yes, you may inflect or you may change the way you get read it out. But I would assume the same is true. I mean, you're really reading a script and plugging and playing. And so it's, yeah, I could see where that repetition, I think, would really help in that.
Right.
The more you do it and the more you practice it, it would make it that much more freedom as you do it, as the game flows.
Right. Now, when I used to do broadcasting, what Dauber's saying is really, really important. And what helped me so much is speech team. I keep going back to that. So when I was in high school, I was a part of this event for speech called extemporaneous speaking, where we had, it's part of the reason why I have some anxiety now, just thinking about it. We would not know the speech that we'd be reciting the day of the competition. So extemporaneous speaking, you're given 3 prompts to some current event question. So who will be the next president of the United States? You pick the one that you want to respond to, you think you can make, you know, the best speech out of. You have 45 minutes to prepare a 6-minute speech. And that's what taught me not to use filler words when I talk.
It's interesting too, even if as I'm hearing you talk, you're pausing instead of having a filler word. And I can almost hear myself going, but you're just nailing, you know, pretty much you used one, in that last, like, you know, kind of string of sentences. So maybe I need to take a speech course. Maybe I got to go to Toastmasters or something.
Why not?
Yeah. You know, it reminds me as you say that, Alex, there used to be, Jay Hood had a radio show at night, like late night, and he would every once in a while have a contest where he would have guys call in and give them a topic. And if they could make it through the topic in 1 minute without they would get a prize. And it's like, I remember listening to that as a kid and thinking, oh, that's really kind of fascinating. I would like to be able to do that at some point.
Yeah. So I was really cool in high school and I attended speech camp, and that was one of the things we did.
Huh, all right. There you go. Speech wow. camp for Dauber.
Speech yeah. camp. Okay. Let me get in. All right.
And actually, quickly, since you mentioned Jay Hood, he was actually at Gentile because he's the radio broadcaster for UIC.
For UIC, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he sat behind me at a game last year, randomly. Like, I think when we came into the A-10, it might have been for the DePaul game, actually. He was sitting in my section right behind me. So, so there you go. One other question I was curious about is I'm excited on Monday, tomorrow, I'm going to my first women's basketball game.
Yes.
I'm going to go to the field trip game. So it's going to be me and like 3,000 screaming kids. So
yes,
I'm hoping that there's an adults only section that I can just, you know, sit in. But here's my question for you. You're covering these other sports now, and obviously at the other sports, you know, it's not the same atmosphere. There's less people, this or that. What's been some kind of, what's been fun about doing volleyball or women's basketball? What's that game like? How's the game different from men's basketball?
Sure. Well, first of all, unfortunately, I won't be announcing tomorrow's game.
I know.
My full-time job, but it should be fun. Someone from Loyola said we'll have 4,000 screaming kids, so you'll fit right in Dauber.
Yeah.
Plus Dauber.
Yeah. I'm just curious if they're going to have the beer open for field trip game. Because I have a feeling it's going to be a short line. It reminds me. Wait.
You're not going to have to compete with the Hannahs.
Alex, one funny thing. This reminds me of, we had some friends, this is years ago, we were really into American Idol, and so we would go to the American Idol concert tour every year, and I went to United Center, and there was no lines at all for the bar, so I go to get like a Jack Daniels, and the woman behind the counter goes, it's so great that you're bringing your daughter to this, like she just assumed I was like a dad bringing his girls, and then the coolest thing is the first time, it's the only time it's ever happened at United Center, she poured me a double. It was like,
hey buddy, you need this.
She goes, because I gave you a double just because you're such a good dad. Meanwhile, I'm there by myself with my friends. That was the year that Fantasia won. So
do you want to know something funny?
Yeah.
He was show.
I was in sixth grade that season, and I had a quote-unquote bet with Tamron Hall, who used to be the Fox Chicago News in the Morning anchor. So at the time, they were accepting fan mail, and of course, Fox is the channel that American Idol was broadcasted in. My favorite contestant, I was obsessed with American Idol at the time.
Diana DeGarmo.
No.
Okay.
My
wait. Let me guess. The Greek guy.
No, he Constantine Maroulis.
Constantine Maroulis.
Was he that season?
No, I don't think so. Yeah,
but
okay. Get with this. Alex, get back to your story.
I want to hear who was your favorite at the time?
So my favorite contestant was John Stevens, but everyone ragged on John Stevens. Oh. He was the 16-year-old at the time.
Yeah.
And he wasn't the best singer,
right?
Going back, listening back, but Tamron Hall would consistently rag on him. And so Alex, 13-year-old from Orland Park, would incessantly email Tamron Hall, and we had a little debate live in studio. So I went to Fox News in the morning with Tamron Hall, who now has a, I think, network show on NBC.
Is that so? I've seen her network show, actually, because I'm work at home, and it's on during the day. But here's the question for you: is there any video of this?
There is. I had it on VHS. I can try to find it.
Yeah, that'd be great. I think that should be posted. Yeah. On Loyola Twitter. Loyola Twitter wants to see that. A young Alex on whatchamacallit, on
Fox News in the morning.
News, yeah. Well, any other questions for Alex? I mean, we've got just a short game to talk about today, so.
Yeah, we only got one game to talk about. Yeah. What is it like? Okay, many may not know this, but we have another team that is under the Loyola banner that has won a national title, two actually, in the men's volleyball. So are you doing them as them and the women's volleyball as well?
Yeah, so prior,
what are the games like for those? Because those are, I mean, because we all know what men's basketball and somewhat what the women's basketball game is like. So what's it like for volleyball?
Volleyball is so fun. So I'll start by saying that prior to this year, I was only filling in for volleyball. Right, so I just finished my first full season announcing women's volleyball, and we'll be starting my first full season of men's volleyball come January. But volleyball is so fast paced. It's a great viewing experience. If you're a fan, go watch Loyola Volleyball, both women's and men's. Women's team had, I think, a 16-match win streak this year, came second in the A-10. Really, really impressive group.
Yeah, back-to-back seasons where they've been phenomenal.
Yeah, just phenomenal team all around. Coach Berkeley is incredible. Men's team, incredible team as well. Second season under Coach Hawks, who I think got a top five recruiting class in the country, the best I think setter in the country is coming. There's a really good player from, I believe, Finland. So should be a really, really good team. As far as announcing's concerned, it's funny when, bringing up Bill Behrens again, when Bill Behrens had asked me to fill in for a volleyball match a few years ago, I was really nervous because I hadn't announced volleyball before, and I know how fast-paced it is. You cannot announce anything after the whistle is blown for a player to serve. It's a big, big no-no. So I was worried that I would, you know, miss a call or announce a player late or miss a sub. And I told Bill my hesitation. He's like, if you don't want to do it, you don't have to. And I'm so glad I told him yes. Funny enough, the first match I announced was the regular season MVC title clincher for Loyola. So it was a really big first match that I had announced, but it's a really fast-paced sport. You have to make sure that you have all your ducks lined in a row if you're announcing it. You have to make sure that you get subs in really quickly. You know who the next server is. If you miss who got a kill or a block, don't worry about it. Just say which team got the point and move on, because you don't have time to be figuring it out for 10, 20 seconds.
Yeah, no, you invited me to a game this year, and the first thing I realized was, did the game take an hour?
Games are very, very fast, especially this Loyola team who won many three-setters. It's about an hour and a half.
Yeah, wow. They didn't give up a set, right?
Is that what they're called? Yes. So in collegiate volleyball, it's best of five. First four sets up to 25, win by two. Fifth set up to 15, win by two.
Yeah. So the one I went to, they won three in a row, right?
Yep.
Yeah, they did. Or no, I think they lost one.
Against George Washington. G-dub. I can't remember now. I think they won most of their matches 3-0. That's why I said that.
Yeah, they did not have very long matches, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's an impressive group.
All right, well, thanks for sitting in, Alex. Do you want to stick around or do you want to take a break?
I'll stick around and listen, but before I guess, go off the headset and the mic, I do want to say I really appreciate your friendship. You guys are awesome. And for me, I consider Loyola my family. For the last 3 years, and I hope that, you know, that continues until the day I die. So meeting you guys and developing this friendship has been really special. And I will say to any fans, if you ever want to say hello, feel free to. Love meeting fans anytime.
Yeah. Well, and it's been cool. Like, I think one of the reasons that we connected as a podcast is we started the podcast the same year you started.
Yeah.
And even I was going to more games, not so plugged in with some of these diehard season ticket holders who've been there for 20 years. So not that I'm not a Loyola guy, because I'm a big Loyola guy, but you know, it's like, I don't know all these people by name and stuff. So you're one of the first people that reached out to me, and I was like, oh, well, at least when I go to the game, I see you. Now I have other fans I say hi to. So it's made it fun to go to the games, to know people. I even saw your buddy. Who's the buddy who sits next to you for the games and plays all the music?
Oh, Kieran. Kieran's amazing. Kieran's director of marketing for a lot of the sports, including men's basketball. He runs the whole show, and he does such an amazing job.
Yeah, I saw Kieran like coming out of the bathroom, and I was like, hey, great, great game tonight. And I was meaning his
part of the game.
His part of the game. And I think he knew I meant him. like not the game. I think so, because he said thank you. So I assume he knew that I was talking about his going. Because I always, whenever he plays a Drake song, I feel like it's for me. I go, oh, this one's for me. That's what I tell myself.
Yes, I'm sure it's for you and not Coach Drew.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Coach Drew is a huge fan, right? So, all right. Okay, let's take a little music break for a second, and then we'll come back. If I can get this song signed up, I don't know where it is. Okay, is this it?
And this break is brought to you by Caputo Cheese.
I don't know where I'm going with this.
And we're back.
By the way, do you know what song this is, Sam?
Not a clue.
It's Bodak Yellow by Cardi B. It was her first big hit. And the only thing I know about this song is she sings about Christian Louboutin shoes, which are the famous shoes that have the red bottom.
Yes.
And so she says something in the line. She goes, these is red bottoms. These is bloody shoes. That's all I know. As a 53 year old white male saying that, I feel a little dirty. Like, that's a little weird. all right, let's kill. Let's, nice. Let's kill it. Yes, all right. Kill. Well, I mean, I don't think we have to have a long conversation about the USF game. I'm sure there's some things that you saw. But I will say, though, that just seeing Manimal kind of come back from this injury and just really is turning into, I don't know, the player that we all expected to see this year. It looks like he's taken a step even over last year.
Without a doubt. Against Goshen College, it looked like, you know, high schooler playing against middle school players, and against USF, you know, here's a comparable opponent, and he still looked Manimal-ish. And it was just really like the play-by-play color guys who are American Athletic Conference guys, they were just like, oh my gosh, this guy is a problem. And he was. And the only thing that honestly took him off the court was his fouls. And if he could clean, he literally had two fouls that were just like, you got to be kidding me. What are you doing? And if he could clean that up, he could have had 30, if not 35.
Yeah. I mean, incredible performance. And when I was off mic with our friend, Alex definitely didn't want to weigh in on players, you know, because of his neutral, you know, just wants to keep it neutral, right?
Keep it, yeah.
Not draw attention, but he said, kind of like, could this guy make it in the next level, NBA? And I hadn't really thought about it until the last couple games. And I started thinking, is there anybody comparable in the NBA to Philip Alston? And then it just jumped in my head, one particular player. And he was in the news this week because he got indefinitely suspended. Draymond Green. And the thing is I was like, I bet you Draymond Green is the same height as Philip Alston. Sure enough, he's 6'6".
Really? I thought Draymond was like 6'9".
No, he's listed as 6'6".
No.
Yes, he is. I looked it up. And the other thing I looked up was, what is his weight? He's 230. That's what he's listed. Philip Alston's 235. I mean, I could see Philip Alston playing a power forward, not unlike Draymond Green, if his, you know, as he, if he takes some more steps in terms of improving as a scorer, and then you know, defense, what, you know, he would be better on Golden State than Draymond Green has been recently.
Yeah, I think 6'6". What in the world? How did it? I literally thought he was 6'9". Like, he was a 6'9".
Well, I think he's known for kind of his... It's the same way Philip Alston is known for his athletic ability, for his kind of width and, you know, kind of how big he is. That's right. What he's known for. But he's not, yeah, he's not 6'9". No.
Wow.
So that's why I started going, is there a role for Philip Alston in a certain system where he is the third or fourth option and great at defense? Why not?
Yeah, I do think that the last game in particular, because Goshen, I throw that out, that's practice game. But against USF, he displayed all facets of the game, where three, driving to the hoop, above the rim, post. It's like he did all facets of the game, and it's just like, that was impressive. And yeah, I do see where he could potentially make it on a roster, because that was the thing. As we look back to with Lucas going, making his play for the NBA, I think his biggest problem was he was too small, or he is too small. He's 6'4". Whereas you throw another couple inches on him, where with like Manimal, it's like now he's 6'6" and he's a big body.
Well, I just want to throw it out there. I'm happy to represent Manimal. Yeah, you know, Philip, sweetie, I got big plans for you. We're gonna call the Golden State Warriors. They got a spot open right now for a guy just like you. We're gonna just slot you in. I'm gonna call Steve Kerr and say, you know, I'm from Chicago. You know, we got the Chicago connection, and we're gonna get you in there. What would it look like? You're gonna have Steph. You're gonna have, who else is on that team? I don't even know. What's the other guy's name? The two,
Klay Thompson.
Yeah, Klay Thompson.
Thank you.
Hey, where did that voice come from?
That should be Klay Thompson. Klay,
yeah. So we got Klay Thompson, and we got, hey, Philip Alston. We'll get you in there. We'll get you a Pop Tarts endorsement. I know some people. Hey, it's gonna keep Loyola family. National Caputo cheese spokesman.
I can see where he could get run in the next level, or even if not in Europe, a big time basketball with Spain or Germany, that kind of thing, where it's like, yeah, he definitely has an NBA body, unlike, you know, previous guys in the years past.
Right. So I am really going to be curious as things go on, what that looks like. And if we start playing Dayton at the end of the year, I would just be curious. There might be some scouts there, you know, maybe looking at Holmes, maybe taking a once over on Alston.
I could see where he could find a position in the second round, or even a, you know, non-drafted invitee kind of thing.
Sure.
Because, yeah, I mean, you can't find bodies like his. Yeah.
Well, I posted that play where he... I don't know if it was an alley-oop try or... But
no, it was the inbound one.
But right. He goes so high to get that ball. It would... I mean, any other player on the court, I think that other than maybe Miles Rubin...
Right.
That ball's getting thrown out of bounds. But he jumps up, catches that ball, comes down with it, and then is able to put it in to finish the half.
Not even that, but he came down with it, pump fake, got the defender up, and then went up with it. So he had the wherewithal not just to go straight up, but to have to collect himself and go back up with it. That was what was key about that play.
Because we lost, I didn't go back and look at a lot of the stuff, but there were a couple of moves that he had where just looks like he's adding to his bag as things go on. Yeah. He had one play under the hoop where I felt like he had a really nice like reverse off the glass.
And it was early on in the game.
Yeah. And it was like, man, if he adds that to his game, as opposed to I'm just going to bully up and hope that I get fouled, it's going to be tough to guard, you know?
I I think, if anything, the improvement in his game is going to be the fact of him getting to the free throw line. Because that's where it's needed. Because if he can, you know, get the other team in foul trouble and get free throws, and he was 5 of 7, which was, you know, that's okay and good. But it's just like, if he can make 8 of 10, or if you double that, be like 10 of 14, you know, like that's where I think that's where you see his game, where he's averaging them 30 points a game kind of mentality. But I think what I still find fascinating is you could take Goshen a little bit, but he scored 20 something odd points in 15 minutes. In this game, because of foul trouble, he only saw the floor for 29 minutes and yet still had 27 points. So on 10 of 16 shooting, that's pretty impressive. And I think that's what people are really enamored with, is his ability to score and to score effectively and efficiently.
Well, and they didn't have a great answer for him on USF. They did have some good answers to the rest of our team, though.
Yeah.
So what were some things that you saw in this game? You know, again, we don't belabor losses where we're breaking down every little thing, but is there anything you saw, any trends that are worth looking at?
I have said this for the last 5 or 6 years, that, and this is when we had Cam Krutwig.
Survive to thrive?
No. Cam Krutwig was your number one option. I get that. But the team really functioned well when there was a 2 and a 3rd option, that when you had 3, you know, guys going, where the opposing team could not focus just solely on Cam, because you knew Cam was going to get his 15 to 19 points a game. It was a given. But who else is going to score? And I think that was the thing that was a little infuriating about the USF game, was like you had these moments where guys were going to shoot, but you look at, you know, Dez was 2 of 8. Braden was 2 of 7. Jaden was 2 of 5. You know, Jalen was 2 of 6. You know, it was like no one else was a factor. And that's why they lost. I mean, we lost by 13. So, you know, it's like, okay, what, you know, the free throws were about even, you know, maybe they had a couple extra, they had a couple extra buckets, but it's just like, you know what, if we had a couple, you know, 1 or 2 guys, either Dez and Braden or Dez and Jaden, where they had the games that they've had most recently against Tulsa, against Boston College, then this game is completely different. It has a different, but it's just because we only had one guy scoring, and this was not a defensive thing. And I was a little annoyed with some of the threads we're on for Twitter, as well as, you know, text threads. It was just like, you know, Drew's got to go. You know, this team showed, you know, quit or whatever. It did not quit. We don't need anybody else. We just need guys to actually play the game at consistent level. That's the problem, is you had one guy who was a superstar, and he is that, and then you need the other guys to start playing like they have shown flashes of brilliance. And I've said this about Braden, but playing him 37 minutes is not a recipe for success. I think if he's playing 35 minutes, but he's not, you know, required to do the heavy lifting because, you know, Dez is scoring, Jaden is scoring, then it's like it affords him the ability to do that. But when you're asking him to then also score, you know, 15 points a game, that's not a recipe for success. And I think that's what that game really revealed, is that Phillip's going to get his points. Who else is going to get points with him? Because when that happens, we're going to have great success. You know, defensively, I thought Miles played his arse off. You know, he in 16 minutes, he had 4 blocks. Like, they had no answer for him except when he was not on the court. And it was exciting to watch him block. You know, it was a block party. And I love to see him continue to grow. But we need more offensive guys to be offensive and to really be effective and efficient on the offensive side, to pair that with Phil and his manimalness.
Yeah. Well, that painful missed dunk by Des Watson, followed by 6 unanswered, you know, 2 3-pointers in a row. It's like we would have been up by 10, and all of a sudden it's a 1 point or 2 point game.
Yeah.
That 5 seconds later, 10 seconds later. Yeah. So painful. And I know he wants that back, that, you know, maybe just got a little.
I think he went up trying to think, oh, I'm going to do a windmill dunk, and then all of a sudden, oh, wait, man, I should.
Well, I just, it just, you know, whatever. Things happen, and it's just, you kind of, it's, I think we talked about, you know, them cleaning up the turnovers, you know, after a defensive rebound, you know, that a couple times we got picked, kind of just being a little sloppy with the ball right after a big defensive stop.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, instead of going for an offensive bucket or an offensive possession, all of a sudden we just gave up a bucket. Like that, that's what I felt like when I saw that. And I was like, oh, please, please don't make this hurt us. And you know, whatever, it is what it is. I do think one couple of positives that I saw in this game was, is this right? Did we only have 14 turnovers, right?
14 turnovers,
and they had
7 blocks,
and they had 9. So it's like, I felt like we were a little better with the ball in this game. And then one other thing I think is a real positive is when you look at Tulsa, Creighton, this game, these teams look like they could play in the A-10.
Yeah.
Right? And so I realize they're all losses, but this is not like we didn't fill our schedule with a bunch of Midwest teams that don't look like A-10 teams. We're playing tough games against these opponents.
Yeah, and last year when we bowed out of the Myrtle Beach Invitational, we were losing all three of those games by 20 plus points. And those were just, again, the thread that we say on this podcast, do we belong on the court? In that tournament, no. But in this game against Tulsa, even against FAU, we belonged on the court for, I mean, there was a stretches in this game where we were up at half. And had come back.
Yeah, 9 lead changes in this game.
Yeah, I mean, this was a competitive game, and it kind of swung on a balance of just like, and that's where it's like we needed another offensive person. So that because Phil went out, there was major stretches of the game where he was out because of foul trouble. If someone would have stepped up and hit a bucket or two, then this game is completely different, and it looks completely different. You know, and I think also too, we don't have some silly fouls where, you know, where Phil's, he had one where he was not even the defensive player, and he's reaching out to try to, you know, little hand, you know, thing, and he had, you know, get a hand in the cookie jar, and it was just like, what are you doing? Like, you're not helping them there. Like, come on, be more smart.
Well, yeah, there were a couple calls though that were questionable though. There was some ticky tacky stuff that.
Why are you there? And that was one, and there was another one where they were bringing the ball up and he was in the wrong position and he bodied the guy, and because he's manimal, the guy hits him and it goes flying 10 feet, and it's just like, dude, you can't be there.
Yeah. I'm just glad we don't have to face this team again, because I could not stand that Pryor guy. And he
needed to be hitting the throat.
I kind of almost wish Dame wasn't so nice. Like, I wish Dame could just come in and just, like, you know, speaking of Draymond Green, I kind of wish we had like a little bit of a Draymond Green on our team, a guy who gets kicked out every once in a while. Like, I feel like we need that. I almost wonder sometimes too if we need a coach to get thrown out of a game in one of these games. Like, if we go into the A-10 and it's one of these foul differential things where the other team's getting 20 fouls and we're getting 4,
right?
I feel like Drew needs to just get thrown out. He needs to just go out and go, okay, I'm going to get thrown out of this one.
Right.
Because
I can see that. But
does that backfire? That backfire in NCAAs?
I think Tom Welch needs to, you know, be like the Chris Pronger or the, what was the, didn't the Blackhawks back in the day have an enforcer guy? Steve Probert, that's the guy I'm thinking of. Where it's like, you just kind of skating around all of a sudden, oh, a hip check, you know. Because, yeah, that Pryor guy, he was flopping everywhere. Oh, my gosh.
The opinions of the Two Ramblers podcast do not represent Loyola University.
Or its public address announcer. All right. let's get out of here. Look ahead. What do we got coming up? What's obviously Dobber's going out for the women's.
Yeah, I don't know who we're playing tomorrow. Do we know who we're playing?
Who are we playing?
Can you look it up?
I know that the Ramblers, the men's team, plays Charleston Southern on Tuesday, December 19th. Who is the men's? The women play. Sorry, I'm loading. It's loading.
I believe it's SIUE. I tried drawing that out for Robert.
SIU, SIU, Edwardsville.
Southern Illinois University, Cougars? Edwardsville.
Are they the Cougars too?
Oh, they might be.
Or the Panthers. Panthers or Cougars?
One second. Just stall for a second.
I need like that. While the analyst with the attention to detail looks stuff up on the Sammy 3000.
The Sammy 3000. Here we go.
Boop, 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 boop.
Boop, 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 boop. It is SIUE. And that looks like a Cougar.
I think they're the Cougars.
I'm going to go Cougar.
Cougars. Yeah, I'm getting a thumbs up from our friend Alex.
Cougar, so. Panther, that's kind of the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So I know that team because I think they play St. Louis every year.
Yes.
Because they're
in the Ohio Valley Conference.
Yeah. I think that might be a good schedule for us with those guys. Like, I think they should come up and play us. If we're not going to get Valley teams to come and play us. That might be a good non-con.
Yeah, more Ohio Valley. Yeah, I could see that.
I'd like to see the Panthers come from Milwaukee, and I'd like to see these guys come up maybe.
And NIU.
Because they beat St. Louis last year when they played St. Louis. It was the first time in a number of years that they beat St. Louis. And they beat St. Louis with that, with some of those really good players that St. Louis had last year. All right, yeah, we're going to get out of here. And this will be our last episode before Christmas. So Merry Christmas to all the Ramblers fans out there, Rambler Nation. I was thinking about coming, you know, to the game tomorrow as dressed as Santa. I don't think I can pull it off. I don't think I can pull it off. So
why not?
I don't know. It's logistics.
Not like you don't know anybody that has a Santa suit.
Yeah, maybe I can get Dad to dress as Santa. That'd be even funnier. It'd be Dobber Santa.
Dobber and Santa. I think that. Come on, we're selling $5 pictures for that.
I love it. Yeah. Except what if Santa got caught on camera with a $11 Bud Light or $10? By the way, that's a correction. It's a $10 Bud Light. It's an $11 Cleveland.
Yes.
Or not Cleveland. What's it called?
Great Lakes.
Great Lakes Brewery. Yeah.
Yes.
So if you want a craft, you got to pay an extra buck. So, all right. Well,
Alex, thanks for joining us. So glad for you to be in the Dobber Cave and join in the Two Ramblers podcast.
Number one in the A-10.
Oh boy. Whoa! Save it. Save it.
Hold up, before you go.
Okay.
I love listening back, and I've told, I think, both of you this. I love listening back to episodes that have hilarious bits. One of my favorites is from my first year announcing in. You know, your first year doing the podcast, we were playing Bradley.
I can hear you.
What a great episode.
I just happen to have that one. I know you like that, so I happen to have that other thing. You were reminding me of that. I was complaining. I went on a rant because the Band of Wolves was playing a song that Bradley had words to, and the whole Bradley section was singing along, and I said, if I'm the band director and I hear the opposing fans singing, I immediately get that little baton and just be like, off,
shut it down.
Off.
Shut it
down. Like, just put a plug in the tuba. Just
Braves. It's Braves. Let's go, Braves.
Yeah. What song was it? Was it Rock and Roll Part 2?
It was. Yeah.
Da, 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 da. Hey. Let's go, Braves. I'm like, as soon as I hear that, done. Dunzo. Kieran, get Bodak Yellow back on the...
get Bodak Yellow.
Well, you've been listening to the entertaining Two Ramblers podcast with our honorary Rambler of the Day, Alex Sotoropoulos. Am I getting that, Sam?
I don't. No, I gotta. It was like okay. There was an extra syllable in there.
All right, give it to us one time.
Alex Sotiropoulos.
Sodi.
That's Sotiropoulos.
Sotiropoulos.
All right. Well, for the analyst with the attention to detail, Sammy D, I'm the host with the jokes, Dobber, saying Merry Christmas and go Ramblers.
Go Ramblers.
Gentlemen, this was incredible. Thank you.